As I take up my pen during a brief and unfortunate lull in crime, taking their cue from the car workers, the villains of this city appear to have downed tools, causing a regrettable series of layoffs, redundancies, and slow-time workings down the Old Bailey. I wonder which of my most recent trials to chronicle. Sitting in chambers on a quiet Sunday morning, I never write these memories at home for fear that she who must be obeyed, my wife Hilda, should glance over my shoulder and take exception to the manner in which I have felt it right, in the strict interests of truth and accuracy, to describe domestic life à côté de chez Rumpole. Seated, as I say, in my chambers, I thought of going to the archives and consulting the mementos of some of my more notorious victories. However, when I opened the cupboard, it was bare, and I remembered that it was during my defense of a South London clergyman on a shoplifting rap that I'd felt bound to expunge all traces of my past and destroy my souvenirs. It is the curse, as well as the fascination of the law, that lawyers get to know more than is good for them about their fellow human beings, and this truth was driven home to me during the time that I was engaged in the affair that I've called Rumpole and the Man of God. When I was called to the bar, too long ago now for me to remember with any degree of comfort, I may have had high-flown ideas of a general practice of a more or less lush variety, divorcing duchesses, defending stars of stage and screen from imputations of unchastity, and getting shipping companies out of scrapes. But I soon found that it's crime, which not only pays moderately well, but which is also by far the greatest fun. Give me a murder on a spring morning with a decent run and a tolerably sympathetic jury, and Rumpole's happiness is complete. Like most decent advocates, I have no great taste for the law, but I flatter myself I can cross-examine a copper on his notebook, or charm the Uxbridge magistrates off their bench, or have the old darling sitting number 4 in the jury box sighing with pity for an embezzler with 2 wives and 6 starving children. I'm also, and I say it with absolutely no desire to boast, about the best man in the temple on the subject of bloodstains. There's really nothing you can tell Rumpole about blood, particularly when it's out of the body and onto the clothing in the forensic laboratory. The old head of my chambers, C.H. Whiston, now deceased, also known reluctantly to me as Daddy, being the father of Hilda Whiston, whom I married after an absent-minded proposal at an Inns of Court ball. Hilda now rules the Rumpole household and rejoices in the dread title of She Who Must Be Obeyed. Old C.H. Whiston simply couldn't stand bloodstains. He even felt queasy looking at the photographs. So I started by helping him out with his criminal work and soon won my spurs round the London sessions, Bow Street, and the Old Bailey.